All right. Welcome to the Toddcast. We're back. And this time it's myself, who's John, and TJ from Ohio.
What up?
Exactly. All right. Just a couple announcements to start off real quick. We got some cool events coming up. We have your the 30th anniversary sale.
All the stores.
Oh, man. This is going to be nuts.
Company-wide, 30th anniversary.
So somehow I convinced Todd into letting us do 30% off everything in the store, except for a couple restrictions. Each restriction is by store. The one I know for sure that everybody's doing is the Eternal Masters boxes.
Yeah, you don't get a discount on that, right. Sorry.
And remember, Magic players, if you want to get a full booster box, it's off the full retail. The 120 is a normal sale price, so it actually is off like the 143, whatever, blah, 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 blah. So brings it down pretty good. It's like a little under $100, I think.
That is good.
But the regular or the Eternal Masters will not be discounted at all.
Not
so
at all.
Sorry.
Bam, bam,
bam. Wah, wah. And also, all the dollar books in all the stores are 30 cents a piece that day.
What?
I know. That's crazy, right?
30 cents?
It's cray cray. It's going to be nuts. Elwood's going to probably be packed because, like, you know, half the store's dollar books. The basement will not be available. So it's just the top stock in Elwood. So if you're planning on going to the basement, sorry. Basement's closed.
Didn't you just have a big basement sale, though?
We did. We just had the million comic sale. It was a lot of fun. We did really well. It was a lot better than last time, because last time we did it in the middle of April, and it was, like, freezing cold. So I know, because I was at the VFW by myself, freezing all day. My hands were numb, because I was trying to do some stuff with the comics, and I was just like, man, this is so cold. Oh, my God, my hands. So it was nice. We also have a the Eternal Masters comes out this Friday in all the stores.
Did all the stores do pre-orders except for the Ohio store?
I don't think so. I think Cranberry did not do pre-orders. Or they may have only done half pre-orders. A lot of the stores only did like X amount as pre-orders, and then the rest go to the shelf.
The ones that did pre-orders sold out on their pre-orders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were no spaces left for anything pre-ordery. And Elwood, I think, is only going to get, like, one box. So,
meh.
But whatever, Elwood. I mean, that's Elwood.
Did you look at the spoilers for the set?
I did. It's pretty fun. We talked a lot about it on the trip to ACD Games Day.
Yeah. Well, as the spoilers were being released, Scott and Lance were giving us updates.
Yeah, it was like, hey this, and we're just like, really? Come on, guys, I'm trying to drive.
I guess you got spoiled whether you wanted to or not.
Right. I'm not usually a big spoiler guy. I usually just like to see what's up when it comes out. Just how I am. Even with regular sets, I try not to look at spoilers. I look at the FAQ, though, when it comes out, because, you know, as a judge, you kind of need to do that.
But,
you know, nothing in Eternals Masters is going to change how they play the game. So, fun times. Then in July we have a pre-release for Eldritch Moon coming out. All the stores except for Elwood will be doing a pre-release, so make sure you check that out. Pre-registration for most stores I think starts July 1st.
Yes, definitely for the Ohio store.
Right. It's gonna be fun. All the stores are at least doing one event. Most are taking place on Saturday. More information on that as I get the times.
Ohio's is at 4:00 Saturday.
Boom. It's going to be fun. Let's see. Also in July, we have Not at Comic-Con Day. So for those of you guys who missed it last year, Not at Comic-Con Day is kind of cool. The Saturday of San Diego Comic-Con, we try to get some artists in the stores, and we do like first 100 people through the door get a sweet giveaway bag. We have cool stuff coming in from IDW, Valiant, Xenoscope, Action Lab. And I'm missing somebody else. But all that stuff's, like, starting to flow into my hub where I will, like, hand stuff all of these bags of awesome. So,
right.
Yeah. So first 100 people through each door, there's going to be, like, some cool sales. The sale is you get 10% off everything in the store as long as you wear a cape.
Oh,
now,
God.
Here's the deal. So it doesn't have to be, like, a legit, like, store-bought like, or hand threaded cape. It could be like a paper towel hanging off the back of your shirt.
You could tie
I don't care.
Blanket on.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. I don't care. As long as you come in with a cape on, I'm giving you 10% off. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad your cape looks.
Nice.
But it's gonna be a lot of fun. All right, so we have some new releases this week. You can find all these at newdimensioncomics.com/new-releases, where you can go to the website and check it out. A lot of the stores share this on their Facebook page every week, but you can see everything that comes out in all the stores. Every Monday it updates for the whole company across the board. So if you're looking for something, you can call your local NDC. We'll try to get it for you. If that specific store isn't getting it, we can try to have it for you later in the week. So it's kind of a good deal. A lot of Civil War stuff, a lot of last issues of DC stuff, a lot of new Rebirth coming out this week.
All that stuff looks promising, the Rebirth stuff.
So far, so good. I've only read Rebirth 1, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. Oh, wow, there's some cool pops this week. There's some Pac-Man ghost pops. What? That's awesome.
Do they have after Power Pellet color?
No. It's pretty funny, though. But, yeah, I'm pretty excited about this Wonder Woman Rebirth myself coming out this week.
Greg Rucka writing it. It's got to be a home run, right?
Right. I mean, his last run was awesome.
Yep.
So, all right, let's talk about Rebirth 1 real quick. So this will be the only Rebirth book we talk about this week because there's so much of it coming out that we couldn't really decide on which ones to talk about. So we're going to...
We had 4 last week, 3 issues this week. I don't know what's coming next week.
And they're bi-weekly? There's 2 a month, I believe.
Yeah, for most of them, yeah.
But they're $2.99, so there you go, DC fans. So in Rebirth 1, you start out with Wally West stuck in the Time Force. Or Speed Force, sorry.
Which is awesome because I love Wally West. He's my favorite Flash.
I'm totally not a Wally fan, but it's cool. So he's trying to find a tether back to his old universe, which is the pre-52 universe. And so, like, I think it's funny. Like, he goes and sees Batman, and Batman has, like, the new Rebirth outfit on already. And which I think they were using the last couple issues anyway.
Yeah.
But his belt looks terrible. Like, did you see his belt?
I did.
All like jaggedy and like zigzaggy, and I'm like, what is that?
I don't know who tailored that.
Yeah, not very good. So you know, he tries to get him to remember who he is. He's like, I don't know who you are. Flies through time, finds Linda. Linda doesn't know who he is. Keeps going. Eventually, he gets to the point where he finds Barry, and Barry's like, I don't know. Then eventually he remembers who he is and he pulls him back, so everything's all hunky-dory.
Yep.
But we have no idea where we actually are. We have no idea how Rebirth is going to actually correct all the new 52 stuff, because it's going to have some of that stuff in there and some not. So yeah,
pretty much for every cool thing that happened in there, it unleashed like hundreds of questions.
Yeah.
Like, especially like, why is he wearing his Kid Flash outfit? Why is he younger now, but he still remembers his time being the Flash?
Right, and he's like, somebody stole 10 years from us, and blah, blah, blah. And then obviously, like, the big spoiler that broke out was that Dr. Manhattan is the guy that actually created the new 52 in a pocket universe. So in the old universe, Flashpoint still did happen.
Right.
So, like, if... Batman, and then you see Batman, and he sees the letter from his dad because Wally asked him about that, and then he like busts part of the wall off, and you find the comedian's pin, and I'm like, how is this gonna work?
Well, one, why is that there? Why is that in the Batcave?
Right. Like, where's the giant penny? I want the giant penny. Yeah. I don't want the freaking the comedian's pin. But
how do you feel about that tying the Watchmen?
I think it's cool. I think it's cool that they actually did it. I think Alan Moore is going to have a heart attack.
I honestly don't think he's going to care. Like, really? He's kind of distanced himself from that sort of stuff now. So
yeah, that's kind of true. But I don't know.
He's
it's
off smoking the devil's lettuce somewhere.
That's probably true. He's just going to be real high and sad somewhere. Oh, no. They ruined my characters
comb
again.
Comb your beard, Alan. Comb your beard.
Right. But I don't know. Like, I want to see where what actually went on. Like, I want a little more structure than just, oh, he created it in a pocket universe.
Right.
You know?
It struck me as... it was like, hey, Geoff Johns, we're going to send you off to do these movies and stuff and make sure that gets taken care of, right? But first, I need you to bridge our DC Universe back to the old DC Universe where people were actually buying the books. So if you could, write a really sweet book and fix that.
Right?
So that's what we got. And in my opinion, it seems like he probably read Watchmen right before he did that and was like, oh, hey, this would be cool.
Or before Watchmen, since he used that specific thing that happened.
Correct.
It was kind of cool. Like, but I made this joke with somebody the other day about how we're gonna see that the big reveal is actually that Dr. Manhattan is Dan DiDio.
Better hope this works, sir. Dr. Dan.
Dr. DiDio. Dr. DiDio to downtown Manhattan. We're going to just let you walk around, paint you blue, let you walk around naked at cons.
Oh, that'd be ugly.
Yeah, it would. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes because, like, you know, I'm
wondering, to be honest... If they never went back to that whole thing and explained it, I wouldn't care. I just want good stories in DC Comics.
Me too.
I haven't picked up DC Comics and read them and been happy about them for years now. Like, I'm not a fan of the New 52. I was not a fan of that.
There was some stuff I liked, but not... I wasn't, like, super, super excited about any one book. You know, like, Geoff Johns got off Green Lantern halfway through, and I was like, well, there goes my big flagship.
Right.
Scott Snyder was good out of the gate with Batman and Swamp Thing, but his Batman started lacking halfway through.
It lost its way towards the end, and I think everybody can pretty much agree that they didn't like Gordo Batman.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but there were some other ones that stayed okay, but nothing was... Like, oh my God, I love this book. I need to get it every week.
Right.
And that was kind of my problem. So, all right. We'll check out Rebirth, number one. The second and third prints are going to hit stores pretty soon.
Good luck finding a first print.
Yeah. Yeah. Those sold out pretty well. The weird part was, like, a lot of the stores, and I can't blame them for this, like, a lot of stores, not just in our chain, but, like, you know, we're part of Comics Pro, and I hear all these guys talking. Some of them went just completely nuts and ordered, like, 500 copies.
Right.
Right. Some stores like ours and a lot of the ones that I know of kind of played it a little more safe. Like they took like their most bought book, which most of the time was either Batman or Justice League, and they doubled that number because, you know, that's a safe bet. That's you know, I'm not going to go too nuts with this because, you know, if it sucks.
I ordered four times the amount, but it still wasn't much because I was hardly even pushing two issues of Batman a month out of my store. So.
Right? This area's weird.
It is.
But, yeah, it was very awkward. Everybody sold out. I guarantee, even if we would have ordered 200 per store, we probably would have sold out.
Right.
And, you know, people are nuts. The speculators came in and wreaked havoc and
bought several issues of each one.
Yeah,
several copies of each one. So,
which whatever, they bought them.
this is an excellent opportunity to push the sub program in stores.
Yeah.
Definitely.
If you do not subscribe in your store, you probably should, because if you want to get these books, come in, give us your name, we will start a subscription for you. You get X amount of books, you get 10% off everything in the store. It's going to be a lot of it's worth it. Totally worth it as long as you actually buy your books.
Be there. I mean, you can't get in there on Wednesday. You work? Well, no big deal. Come in a week from next Wednesday and pick them up.
As long as you're picking them up, we don't care.
Right.
We will pull your stuff as long as you pick them up. So, all right, I'm going to talk about my first pick from a book that came out last week. Batgirl 52, which is the last issue from the Batgirl series from that by Fletcher and Carlini. And so it's weird because, like, I haven't read this in a while, so picking this last issue up was like, oh, a lot has happened. Like, they have, like, their own, like, Birds of Prey going on in here. It's, like, Vixen, Spoiler, Black Canary, Bluebird, Batgirl, and somebody else is in here. Hold on. And they're, like, helping out with the Gotham Academy.
Is this all happening in the Burnside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they help out at, like, Gotham Academy. Is that Spoiler? And, yeah. Nice. Spoiler's totally in here. Bluebird's in here. And, you know, like, they go rescue a bunch of kids at the academy, and, like, a lot of this arc was about just trying to, like, bridge that gap, so I think probably to help out the Gotham Academy sales, which I don't read it, but I hear it's actually pretty good as a kid's book.
Well,
like,
now they got
a
crossover with Lumberjanes, so, I mean.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Picking up.
It's kind of, this book was all right. The art is very much so more the Gotham Academy art than what it was when it started out, which is, like, one of the reasons why I liked the book when it started out. It was okay. Nothing super great about it. They just kind of were tying up loose ends for the most part. And then, like, at the end, there's this, like, really kind of cool party where, like, it's like Babs's going away party.
Yeah, isn't she leaving Burnside?
Yeah, she's leaving Burnside, and
this probably leads into whatever she's doing in the Rebirth stuff. I think she's going to go to Asia and do like a walk across
something. Yeah, it's super weird, but it's just funny because there's like random little conversations, and then you see them like talking about things that happened in the past. And my favorite part is where Black Canary is like, when you get back, we're getting matching BOP tattoos. And I was like, really? but it was kind of funny because, like, you know, they made her more of like a college age vibe or like a hipster kid, like, you know, like late 20s, early 30s style.
That's cool. I can see people taking that either way. Like, I don't know. I'm still stuck on I liked her as Oracle thing, but
I did too.
I don't think we're ever getting that back. So I'm just going to have to adapt and deal with this.
Right. Well, her roommate, actually is in a wheelchair. Who's also her, it's operator. Like it's like her own version of Oracle.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. But you know, like it was kind of cool, like tying it up and seeing how they did it. I thought they did a good job tying it up, but it wasn't like a super great issue. I haven't thought that this book was good since like the end of the second arc. So the first arc was really good of the Fletcher run, but since then it was like meh.
So you think this was just sort of like hastily written to
I don't think it was hastily written
the Rebirth stuff, or just they kind of didn't really care too much?
I think they were just like, I don't think it was really filler. I think they were just kind of like, what's the easiest way to tie this up without it being, like, too crazy? Because, like, the penultimate fight was, like, 2 pages. That was it.
Not an action issue.
Right. It was definitely more of a feels issue.
Right in the feels.
But I thought it was good. Like, it just it wasn't great. But, like I said, they tied it up pretty good. Similar to The Flash. Like, The Flash one I read was similar. Like, they just all these like tie-up issues, like, you know, they're not like super great, but you can tell they're just going, all right, we're just gonna tie this up because then we're gonna go on to this next thing.
Right. I haven't even read the last story arc in The Flash. I know he's like dealing with the Riddler and stuff like that, but I haven't even touched that yet.
But it's interesting. Books. But it's really interesting because like this is the Batgirl we're gonna see in Rebirth.
Right.
But
right.
She's totally a new 52 version of Batgirl. So how does that work out when it's, you know, supposed to be this other Barbara Gordon?
But no, they said that it's not. This isn't a reboot. They're just going to
correct some things.
Yeah, just tweak some
correct
things.
Correct the course. So,
yeah, we'll see. It looks good so far. Everything looks promising.
Cool. What book you want to talk about?
All right, I got the Punisher #2, second issue of the newest run of Punisher. It was done by Becky Cloonan and Steve Dillon on art.
Nice.
The best thing so far, I mean, we're only 2 issues in, so I can't really get too far into it story-wise. you got it's
It is what it is.
It's good old Frank Castle, man. He's out there doing his thing. He's trying to get leads on these people that are selling a drug that enhances human abilities. There was a scene in it where a guy was backed into a corner. Frank busted a drug deal up, and he just decided to take it himself. It made him super durable, super fast. He was doing Matrix moves around bullets and stuff. He was not feeling any punches or anything. And
jeez.
He actually got the best of Frank. He beat him up pretty good, and then he got away. So, like I said, we're only two issues in, but this so far is pretty good. Like, what I would compare this to, it'd be like a tamer version of Garth Ennis's Punisher. I mean, like, you got Steve Dillon on the art, so it's going to look similar. It would probably be better served to be a Max book, but I don't think they do that anymore at Marvel. I'm not sure.
Right.
It's definitely not for kids, but they do. I mean, they curse all over the place, but it's all beeped out. It looks like, you know, when Kubert gets hit by something, throws up the little squigglies and dollar signs and all that. Still super violent. I mean, right on the cover it says not for kids, so.
Right.
You got that. But this is good, solid Frank. I mean, it's him doing what he does. We have no other capes or superpowered beings in this yet, which I'm totally cool with that.
Right.
Definitely give it a try. If you were a fan of Garth Ennis' run on The Punisher, try it out.
How about for those people who have only known The Punisher by the Daredevil TV show? Well, do you think they would like this book?
Yeah, he seems a little bit more. He's a little harder in this book than he is on the actual show. The show tried a little bit harder to humanize him.
Yeah.
So far, two issues into this, Punisher is what he has always been—a force of nature. He's a killing machine, dude. That's what he does. He finds the criminal, and there's no gray area. You're just dead.
Yep. Yep. You're on a list. Die. So no, that's cool though. I'm not a huge Punisher guy, so it's kind of cool to like always hear from me like stuff like why would I want to read that? So,
well, I've always liked the Punisher. I've missed a few of his previous series just because I got out of comics for a little bit or didn't want to read that particular series that was going on. I was a big fan of the Ennis run, and when I saw that, oh hey, there's a new Punisher coming out, I'll give it a try, and that Dillon was doing the art, I had to try it.
Yeah.
And I'm pleased with it so far. We'll see where it goes.
Sweet. Sounds good. All right. My my next pick is Civil War II, number one, by Brian Michael Bendis and Dave Marquette, or Marquez. And this book, like, it starts out with this crazy fight. And, like, everybody's there. The Avengers, the Inhumans, like, everybody. Lady Thor, like, that, like, this, they have like these awesome panels of just everybody. It's great. Some X-Men, because you see like Nightcrawler.
Does this take place after the Free Comic Book Day thing where they were like fighting Thanos, or is it right about the same time?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
But it's kind of cool, like all the lineups of the new series, all the new series they have out are in here. And I'm a huge like Tony Stark and Carol Danvers fan, so like this book kind of hit me in the feels because I'm like, oh man, who do I side with? So
well, I hope they make Tony Stark look a little bit better in this Civil War than they did in the last one, because they like pretty much
crapped on him.
Yeah, in the last Civil War, that was a character assassination if I ever saw one.
This, it's interesting. So they fight this giant creature, and you find out that this new inhuman named Ulysses is the guy who told them that it was going to happen because he can see the future.
Oh, he's a precog.
So they have like this big thing at Stark Tower, a big party of, hey, everybody beat this thing, let's all hang out and drink. So they're doing their thing, and they were like, how did you find out about this? And he said it was an inhuman. So they asked Medusa, and Medusa's like, come with me, and they shove like very specific people in the kitchen. So it's like Crystal and Medusa, Rhodey, Tony, Spider-Man, Cap, Falcap, and Captain Marvel in there, and they're you know, he says, this is what I do, like this is how I do that. And it's really like they make, like, in true Bendis form, there's like awkward little jokes, like he's like, oh, the Terrigen Mist came, and I was at Ohio University or Ohio State, and he's like, go Buckeyes. Ah. And I was like, oh, but if you know Bendis, he's from Cleveland, so that's probably why he put it in there. Anyway, so they bring Jean Grey in to like share the memory of everything, and she can't get into his head. She's like, I've never seen this happen. Like, he just can't. He's a lockout. Like, and they're all like, what? What's going on? So then they get into this big fight, excuse me, about how he should be used to prevent these things that happen. And that's what Carol wants, like, to have the
use
ultimate.
Like a Minority Report.
Sorta, yeah. And Tony's like, I don't think it matters because he always sees a future. We've already changed the future he saw at the last one where this big thing came. So they kind of start fighting a little bit about it. And they kind of go their separate ways at the end of the night. So the next day, or the next night, like, he, like, wakes up screaming. Medusa's like, what's going on? Oh, my God. And it's like, call the Ultimates. So they call the Ultimates. And then you see Tony in his lab with Friday. And they're testing out the new stealth part of the armor. And he's like, where is it? Where is it? And Friday's like, you told me not to tell you. And he's like, come on. Come on. And she's like, no, this is part of the this is proof that it's way better than the other one. And he's like, come on, this sucks. And then Mary Jane shows up and she's like, Tony. And he's like, what did I do wrong now? And he just like looks at her and is like, what? And she goes, it's Rhodey. And he's like, he's here. And she goes, he's gone. And Tony's face is like, it's like the whole like world shattering face. And then he gets in his armor and he flies over the Ultimates thing. And there he is on a table. Spoilers. So you find out what happened. And the Ultimates went and they fought Thanos without calling anybody else. Like, they just took him on. They knew where he was, all because of Ulysses. And Danvers is there with She-Hulk in a bed, and she is, like, on her deathbed. So they all take on Thanos, barely escape. Rhodey dies.
Rhodey bought it.
Wow. Rhodey totally bought it. Look at that.
I know.
Like, that picture.
That right there was in the Free Comic Book Day thing where he got, like, punched clear through.
Yeah, it was nuts. And then, so now they're fighting about, like, this whole thing sets up the catalyst is Rhodey's death and whether or not they should use this kid as a Minority Report style thing. And you know, she's like,
of course
Carol's like, he was a soldier, he would have done it anyway,
right?
And he's like, no, don't you dare say his name and blah blah blah.
That was your dude,
right? And so Tony's like, I want to go see Thanos, I want to know where you're holding him. So he runs off to see Thanos, and as that happens, She-Hulk grabs her hand and tells her to fight for the future. And she's like, it's like, this is our future. Fight for it.
I don't
then
understand.
Then she flatlines, and that's how it ends.
Oh no! So two Avengers died.
Right? No. They're like, we need Bruce Banner. Like, we don't know how to deal with her at all. Like, we don't. How do you even know how this happens to a Hulk?
Right. Like, what? Didn't she just get hit in the chest with a missile or something like that? And then.
I don't. They didn't really show that part.
It must be from the Free Comic
Book.
Yeah,
that part they showed in there.
That whole fight was in there. She got hit with a missile from War Machine, and it knocked her into a building, and that was pretty much it for her.
I don't know, man. I think she ended up fighting Thanos a little bit more too. So, but it was really good. I was really, really surprised. Like, I was like, oh, this is gonna be okay. But the first Civil War was like okay for me. Like, I didn't really.
Right.
I was like, oh, they're going to do things to shake up the universe, and then they did, and now I'm like, this one I think is a little more, like I said, in the feels for me, because, like, I like Carol, and I like Tony.
Right.
So, where do I stand right now with this? I don't know yet, because, like, you know, if you had someone that could be like, hey, this thing is going to come, you should probably fix it so that the world doesn't die. Right. Like, and you don't act on it, then what? You know, like, are you just as bad for not acting on it as you are for acting on it and trying and then people dying? But you stopped it because there's always going to be something else next. So, like, I can see both sides of the story. I just don't know who I side with yet.
Well, the one thing that I know for sure is I don't see this kid making it out of this
story. Oh, I don't think so either, yeah.
Because he is a plot device, and, yeah, I just don't see this ending.
Or his powers will change.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I thought it was good. So I'm not going to read all the tie-ins. I'm probably just going to read the main story. But,
yeah, I think that's what I would do, too. I'm so, like, wore out on tie-ins and things that branch off everywhere.
There was another really funny thing. I got to read it because, like, he puts this awesome, like, Spider-Man quip in here that's just hilarious. It's during the kitchen scene. And Miles and Peter are in here, so it's really funny to like hear both of them talk about stuff. Where is it? There it is. I think maybe. Hold on. Oh, here we go. So Tony says, okay, let's say the guy comes running in here and says, oh, God, I just saw a vision of the Hulk making out with Ultron and a baby popped out and the baby was a reincarnated Hitler. Peter Parker just raises his hand and he's like, I'd pay to see that movie. Tony just is like, no doubt. So I was like, wow.
You always got to have some jokes in there.
Right. Bendis does that so well. Like the little quips, the sitcom style quips. Like I loved his new Avengers he was writing because it was all like a sitcom.
Right.
It was awesome.
The dude can write some great dialogue, that's for certain.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. So that's all the books we're gonna be talking about this week. So check out your local NDC for some new books. You can check out all the new releases at ndcomics.com and just hit the new release tab. Or you can stop in and look around because, you know, we have a lot of cool stuff. Anyway, so.
Do that, and then we'll try to sell you all kinds of things.
So two nerd movies came out since the last one. So I'll talk about the one you didn't see yet real quick, and I'll keep it pretty spoiler-free.
It's Ninja Turtles. I mean, you're not gonna spoil that for
like
me.
Seriously, like the movie is like a hour and 45 minute long 90s episode of the cartoon, like the old cartoon that, like, it was on. Oh man,
that right there, like, sells me on it. I will totally go see that.
It is a million times better than the first one. Casey Jones, though, total throwaway. Like, he was, all he was in there for was to move the plot along.
That sucks.
And April O'Neil moves the plot along. Like it's almost all Turtles, Bebop and Rocksteady, Shredder, Krang, Technodrome.
That's awesome.
Baxter Stockman. It's really, really good.
Because I like Casey Jones, but yeah. I don't know, Stephen Amell. I mean, he's cool on Arrow.
It was cool, though, because, like he's like that a little more happy, like kind of happy-go-lucky, like I know I could totally just do this and die, kind of I don't give a shit type
cool.
of vibe.
And then he's not playing Batman, like, with a bow.
Right, exactly. So he's a little happier than he normally is, so it's a little weird. But his hair is still short, so it's like, come on, man. If you're going to at least try to be Casey Jones, you should
Does
be
he try to use
hair.
An accent?
No, he doesn't.
No. New York
no accent, no nothing.
Killing me.
The hockey
Killing
mask
me,
is good. The hockey
yeah,
mask
I saw
is
that.
Good.
I like that.
But the I think the reason why his hair is short is because they make him a cop that, like, gets suspended.
Oh,
so,
come on.
Like, again, moves the plot along.
Okay.
But Bebop and Rocksteady are amazing.
They look great. Like, I thought it was crazy that they had Sheamus from WWE play Rocksteady. That
oh,
was,
man. He was so
insane.
Good, too. It was so good. Like, there's just some really, really fun moments. Like, and they work in a lot of, like, the old vehicles, like their trash truck.
Oh,
they're driving
no.
the garbage truck, and it's, like,
shooting sewer
it's
lids.
It's totally super lit. Yeah, it's shooting the sewer lids. It's got, like, these giant nunchucks that come out the side.
Oh,
and then, like,
no.
And Mikey's, like, all, like, look at me, blah, blah, blah. They drive under a bridge, knock them off, and it's, like, oh.
I'm sure you can buy this at Toys R Us right now.
Right. But like Bebop and Rocksteady both have like the motorcycles they had, and like Rocksteady's driving the tank at one point. That's like he used awesome. To. Super awesome. The Technodrome has the big eye on top of it.
No way.
Yeah, dude. Krang's awesome.
Is it really like a big ball? It looks like a Epcot center on the tank treads with a not giant eyeball.
You don't see the tank treads because it's like floating in the air. Because they open
like an airship.
They basically like open a portal and it's like pieces are flying through space to be put together. So like as it's being put together is how they're fighting.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool. Like Krang is really good. Like he has the big body with the big dumb head on it.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I saw that in the trailer that they used like the big goon body with like, you know, the Krang brain in the belly and stuff. I was like, oh dude, I need to see this.
Oh, it was really funny. Like he doesn't have the voice, right? But he does have like the humor part to it. So it's not like, and Chip and I were talking about this. We think that it happened because they want to make sure that kids aren't like super scared of a giant talking brain out of a stomach.
You never know about kids being scared of things these days. I mean, hell, kids were scared of Grimace with four arms back in the day.
Grimace Prime. Yes. Duh. Oh, give me the milkshake there, Ronald. Duh. But there's a scene where like Krang's like, push me back in. He's talking to the body and it's just like punching him to get him back in. He's like, so it's really cool. Like the New York Knicks are in it. Like the actual Knicks are in it.
That's crazy.
It's really good. Like it just felt like a 90s episode. Like it was super fun. There's not a lot of Splinter in it. It's mostly like the Turtles. You know, Baxter Stockman's in it and he's really funny. It's Tyler Perry. So it's really, really funny to like watch that whole like his whole character just do whatever he has to do. But you know, it's fun.
I take it they left it open for like a third movie. Some things for that.
Yeah, because like he doesn't die in it or anything, and like stuff happens with Shredder, and like Bebop and Rocksteady live through it. But there's awesome. There's like funny jokes where like they're looking at their junks after they mutate, and they're just like, they're like, my man.
Oh no.
So
check out my rhino dog.
Yes, exactly that. So go check it out. It's at your theater. Take your kids. It's fun. The other one was X-Men Apocalypse. So
this I did see.
Okay, so when I was like, oh, I'm going to go see this, Chip was like, save your money. And I was like, I don't know, man. So I went and saw it on like half price movie night at the Mills with a couple dudes from the Play Magic with me.
Right.
And I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was definitely a Bryan Singer X-Men movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't hate it. I didn't love it, but it was okay.
Did it seem a bit long to you?
Kind of. Not really. Maybe a little bit.
It was like 2 hours and 20 some odd minutes. Watching this movie, normally when you watch a movie, you don't really feel that. But like watching this, I actually felt that extra 20 some odd minutes in there. It was.
So
like,
I felt that at Batman Superman. So I could I was like, oh, please end.
Yeah, but wasn't that about like 3 hours worth of extra time?
It was like a whole extra half hour of a Doomsday fight that didn't need to be in there at all.
And then they're gonna.
Like this better than I liked Batman Superman, but not by much.
Ooh.
So.
That's pretty bad then. I don't know. My thoughts on it were it falls in line with what they've been doing. I didn't like it as much as Days of Future Past. I mean, I think it just
I think that's my favorite one of the newer, the second part of the trilogy.
We're going right down the line for me. I still like First Class best. Yeah.
I liked Kevin Bacon a lot.
Yeah. In the movie. But I am getting kind of tired of this being the Mystique show. I mean, like in the other X-Men movies, you had it was the Wolverine show.
Right.
Now they've like, you know, we got Jennifer Lawrence in here. and it seems like with each movie, they have her out of her blue normal form
more and more.
So it's just J-Law running around.
Yep. So
I don't know. Like there was some weird moments in there. There was a part where Apocalypse was just kind of chilling on a mountain with his four horsemen and Professor Xavier. Dude was just kind of sitting on a rock. And it just struck me as funny. He's just like, he's just chilling out, having a conversation.
Way to go, Poe Dameron.
I know.
The big blue Poe. Yeah. Jumping your X-Wing there. I was waiting for BB-8 to roll out. No.
It was weird. And, like, I mean, they nailed the Apocalypse voice. Because every time I see Apocalypse in a comic book, I always think of the 90s cartoon.
Yeah, right?
Voice he had.
Yeah.
And they nailed that on some parts where he was a little bit more, like, excited or pissed off or whatever.
And you hear all the voices, the
right.
rhythm. Yeah.
But when he was just talking, he's, like, real soft-spoken. And I don't know. I just didn't really dig him.
I thought he was okay, but, like, I wish that. Because there's, like, the scene where he, like, grows in the astral plane.
Yeah.
And he's, like, crushing Xavier, which was cool.
I was glad they put that in there.
Yeah. I wanted it to happen in the real world, though. Yeah. Yeah, like, just have him grow and be huge.
Right.
But I thought it was good. I like the fact that they didn't push the Scott Jean Grey love story,
yeah.
like, down the throat. Like,
I
it was, like, two awkward teenagers meeting each other for the first time.
Right, and I was totally cool with that. I was a little perturbed with the whole Phoenix thing.
Me too. I was like, that's a little soon, but okay.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, whatever they needed to do.
If they even do another movie,
right,
we'll see.
True.
Yeah.
Again, I think Quicksilver steals the show. I mean, they had another one of those moments where they, you know, play the music and he's
right
saving all the kids and stuff. I thought that was awesome.
It was worth it for the bulldog.
Oh yeah, pizza dog.
And the dog's like, ah, like freaking out. That was super funny. And he like drinks the can of Tab in the
yep.
middle of it. I was
yep.
like, oh man, that's awesome.
He's like doing this very important thing, but he makes sure he takes his time to like do his like jackassery. get that
right.
jackassery in.
Right. But I thought it was fun. Like, overall, I thought the movie was fun. Like, it wasn't great. It didn't suck, but it
right.
was pretty middle tier. You know, like, Magneto freaks out like usual, but like, a lot of people forget that, like, the first movie, like First Class, is a movie about Magneto.
Pretty much.
That's
why I love that one. Like, Magneto is my favorite X-Men character. He always has been. Like,
it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably and, top three. Yeah.
And Fassbender, I think he nails that. He
yeah.
nails that part. So.
And then Days of Future Past was very much a Charles movie.
Yes.
Okay. So this one is kind of like both of them having to, like, finally do what they're talking about. Like, lay it all on the line. Both
right.
of them.
Right.
So it was a good culmination of the two parts, I thought, you know, because it had like one thing where we're going to really divide you two and you're both going to have to come in to help win this.
Right.
So I thought it was good. I thought it was all right.
Are we allowed to talk about the scene at the end, like post-credits?
Sure. I mean, we're like, it's been out for like 2 weeks,
okay,
so whatever.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, then go see it.
Or so.
Just wait till it comes out on Redbox or whatever.
Right.
I was actually pretty stoked about that.
Me
when
too.
When the briefcase went closed and it said Essex, I was just like, yeah, I got Sinister coming, yes.
All I thought was, please God, have the next movie be the Dark Phoenix, Jean die, and then they bring in Madeline Pryor for the next movie and like have Sinister be like the big bad for all three movies and totally have like the birth of Cable so that you could do the Cable and Deadpool, like, have
right,
them tie together,
right.
you know? Like, because that would just be awesome, but we'll see.
Well, also, since they got the Weapon X blood.
I think the weird part is the only reason that scene was in the movie was so they could do the thing at the stinger at the end. That
okay.
was it. That was it. That was the only reason why the whole gratuitous Wolverine scene was in there.
Yeah. What about Do you think they're going to, like, since he took the briefcase with the blood away and all that stuff, do you think that's going to lead to, like, the new Wolverine, like a X-23?
That'd be cool. I don't think so, though.
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, they almost have to do her since Hugh Jackman's leaving, or unless they have a Wolverine-less X-Men movie, which, oh,
right.
my God.
I mean, if they tried to do, like, NYX, that'd be a little weird because like everybody would be like, who are these people?
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, oh, X-23's in this. All right, cool. But that's it because like she's the only one that anyone knows from NYX anymore.
I was thinking
NYX
they would
anymore.
Probably just like drop her into an X-Force sort of thing.
Oh, that's a possibility because like if they – like it would be kind of cool to see them do an X-Force with, now that they have Psylocke, because she's not dead. Angel's not dead.
I don't know about that.
Okay, he might be dead.
That didn't make any sense to me either. The Psylocke and Angel in a plane crash. The dude with wings goes down with the ship. She somehow jumps out and uses her psychic blade to slide down a building.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you can't kill Olivia Munn. Yeah. You know, people wanted her a sequel.
That's true.
But he could have totally just hit under the wings and balled himself. So we don't know. It's totally possible. So let's just say he lives. So we do Angel, Psylocke, X-23.
You could bring Deadpool in.
And who are we missing from that Wrecker run? Because that's basically it, right?
I think so.
Like, there's somebody else. Nightcrawler was on that team. Yeah. So there you go.
Warpath.
Oh, Warpath. No, Warpath was on the team before that.
Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah. Because Psylocke and Angel were, like, all lovey-dovey.
Right.
And Deadpool and Wolverine just kind of like. Murr.
The only thing is, like, right now during this takes place in the '80s. There's no Deadpool yet. There's Wade Wilson, but there's no actual Deadpool yet.
Right, it'd be like 30 years later, which they could do a 30 years later and have like an older Psylocke. Maybe she just still looks the same.
Right.
I don't know. That she doesn't have to look older. But you could have X-23 would have come by at that point. Angel would just be older.
Right.
Nightcrawler would be more of a full-on adult. So, yep. I mean, they all would just, be the 30-year-older version.
Could happen.
Totally could happen.
I mean, Fassbender didn't look... I mean, the previous movie took place in the 70s. This one's in the 80s.
Oh.
He didn't look all that much different.
Phantom X. That's who we're missing.
Ah, yeah,
Phantom X. Which I think would be awesome to see him in the next Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a cool team-up random thing. Like,
no doubt.
Or in the third movie, maybe. If they do Cable for this one, they should probably do Phantom X for the next one. Or maybe Phantom X can be the bad guy for the next Deadpool movie.
I think you discussed this on your last podcast about the who do you want to play Cable
in the Deadpool thing. Right. Because we were all like, oh, McSteamy.
Yeah. That was... That's Eric Dane. He played multiple men in the really crappy third X-Men movie. So.
Oh, that's right. He totally did. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And he played the multiple man on Grey's Anatomy, if you know what I mean. Love it.
Yeah, I don't know. Who did you say you wanted? You wanted Ron Perlman to play.
I mean, that would be ultimately. He is the dude who looks like.
He
Cable.
Wants to play the part. He's been lobbying for
it. But he's,
it,
like,
so.
Super old now. Like, you know, Cable's not that old in the comics.
No, he just, I don't know. He just,
he's that. He's war-torn. Yeah, he's grizzled and war-torn, but he is not that old, which is the problem. So.
Well, I mean, they made, just computer generate his face. Look what they did for Robert Downey Jr. Right. in that Cap movie.
What was it? Michael Douglas in Ant-Man.
Yeah, dude.
I know, right? I was like, holy crap, you look like you did in, like, you know, Romancing the Stone.
Right. Meanwhile, he really looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, man. But yeah, like, it's pretty nuts. Like, but we'll see what they do. I have a lot of faith in the Marvel end. I don't know about the Fox end or the DC end, But what, Suicide Squad comes out next?
Yeah.
And then Ghostbusters. Which, I'll be honest, I saw a full trailer for it, and I was like, wow, that looks a lot better than the teaser.
I'm just going to go on record to say this right now. The best thing that's going to come out of this Ghostbusters movie is the return of Ecto Cooler.
It's delicious. I had some the other day.
You lucky bastard.
Yep. It was great.
I need that. I'm going to have to track it down. It took me a while to find Surge when it came back out. So I'm going to be on the mission now to find some Ecto Cooler. I'm surprised they didn't try to bring back Ninja Turtles pudding pies since we had Ninja Turtles movie out.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Or
like you eat one, you instantly get a cavity.
That's true. Or, like, I'm surprised, like, Pizza Hut didn't hop on the, hey, we're going to back these guys again.
Yeah,
like,
that's true, too. Yeah.
Because they did the first movie. Domino's did the second movie. Might have been the other way around. I think it was the other way around.
Yeah, I think it was.
Because, like,
I remember them sliding the pizza down through the sewer thing. And you remember Michelangelo was like, pizza dude got 30 seconds. Pizza's free.
Right. So, we'll see how it goes. But I'm really surprised they didn't. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Anyway, cool. That's pretty much all we got for this episode. We're going to try to get these a little more regular again. Thanks for listening, and go buy some comics, bro.
Yep, get some comics.